thanks precedes bless you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Just appreciate everything the Lord does for us. As we go into service, we just want to just ask you to remember those that had all the destruction that happened yesterday. It's had been quite a year this year for storms. Just pray that the Lord would just go in there and touch every heart, every life. Times of tragedy is a good time for people to find the Lord, find Him in a greater way. So just want to remember those people in prayer. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, verse 19. Isaiah 59, 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and from the going, and His glory from the rising of the sun. In other words, from east to west. Now let me give you a little something there. Israel was just in that little nation. So this is talking about Gentiles, from all the way from the east to the west, the rest of the world, right? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. How's it going to happen? It's my word. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. I want to read a couple of places in St. John's. St. John 3, verse 14 and 15. And then we'll go to St. John 12. St. John 3, verse 14 and 15. The Lord Jesus is saying, there is as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33, has it on the screen here. Jesus again saying, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This He said, signifying what death He should die, be lifted up on the cross. Amen. Just reach over and take somebody by the hand as we pray. Let's pray for that person. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we know that You're here in this place. We know that we're in the best hands that we could ever be in when we're in Your presence, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, that we would just surrender our hearts to You. God, that You would do whatever it is that You want to do today. That You would speak to every heart, touch every life. You'd break chains, set free, bring clarity, heal, and do all the wonderful things that You always do, Lord. We just want to thank You this morning, give praise and honor to You for this opportunity. And we look to You now as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that the one who has started this work in us, You promised You would also finish it. So we're trusting You, Lord. Even when we don't understand anything or what's going on, we trust You, Lord, because we know that You've got these things covered by Your word. We love You, and we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the title of this morning, Know Your Standard. Amen. Know your standard. We're familiar with the word standard in many different ways, but there is a specific way that I want to refer to it this morning. Jesus is saying, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men and to Me. And I've said so many times before that, you know, when you're in a crowd of people, everybody's pretty much kind of the same. And if you want everybody to be able to see, you got to lift them up higher. Right? So you have to, that's why like the platform is higher so that everybody can see. And so when Jesus is saying there, He's saying, listen, if I be lifted up, if I'm up on Calvary's cross where everyone can see, through that act, I'll draw all men into Me. I'll draw, of course, you know, not everybody in the world is saved. But what He's saying, I'll draw all those that can be saved, all those who will come, He'll draw them to Him through that. And so we know in the Old Testament that when the children of Israel come out of was traveling and they murmured, right? It was all kinds of things they were doing there. And of course, there were serpents came and bit the people, bit the children of Israel. And because of their murmuring and because of their disgruntlement and so forth. These serpents came and would bite the people, and of course they were dying because of it. And so Moses, the prophet of God, began to in communicating with the Lord, and the Lord told him, here's what your remedy is. If you have your people are being bitten by these serpents, go and you make this serpent out of brass and lift it up on a pole and let the people look to it. And it shall come to pass that anybody that would look at that serpent lifted up on that pole would be healed. Now, you hear us talk about types and shadows, and types and shadows cannot fail, because the same God that created natural things is the one that created spiritual things. And so the same God that created the Old Testament has created the New Testament.
Right.
And so what you see there is this was one of hundreds or thousands of types and shadows of truth happening back there in the Old Testament, and that was that Jesus was going to be lifted up on the cross. And so when he told Moses, you make this serpent out of brass, because brass represents divine judgment, God's judgment upon people, the continuity of it through the scriptures, brass is judgment, and the serpent represents sin. And so what he was showing there was that sin would be divinely judged when it's lifted up on a pole.
Right.
And if people would just look to that, they can be healed from the bite of the serpent. That's right in itself is the plan of redemption, that we have been bitten by sin. And all we have to do is look to Jesus Christ hanging there on Calvary, where our sin was divinely judged,
And
just look to him,
right. And
you can be healed. If you'll look to that. And so you see what Jesus was saying, if I be lifted up like the serpent was in the wilderness, like Moses lifted up that one, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so we see that type and how that can't fail. And so when Jesus is saying, if I be lifted up, he's not just talking about being lifted up on Calvary's cross. We know that scripture does have compound meaning, compound revelations, compound applications and so forth. But when he was talking about it, wasn't just being lifted up physically on Calvary, but if Jesus is lifted up in your workplace, If Jesus is lifted up in this place,
right. Yeah. If
we testify about him, if we glorify him, see what I'm saying? It's the scripture tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
Right.
See, there's no such thing as a silent Christian. You see, because if you're a silent Christian, you're not getting anything done for the Lord, right?
Right.
We overcome by the blood, but also by the word of our testimony. Because when you tell other people where you were in sin,
right,
and how God changed your life, it gives them hope. That gives them something they can look to.
Right.
And what you're doing when you do that is you're lifting the Lord up high. So, in the workplace, let us not talk about politics. Let us not talk about the new ball game or the new movie star or whatever it is like that. Let us talk about the thing people need to hear.
Right.
Let us lift up the Lord Jesus, and through that he can draw people to himself. And so being lifted up, and I'm saying this because as we go through this morning, we're talking about something being lifted up. So know your standard. The definition of a standard, I just looked it up, and so definition of a standard is an approved example of something against which others are judged or measured. Amen? And so, when the scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up something that he shows has been approved. Amen?
Amen.
And by that, we'll all be measured by that. We'll all be drawn by that. Our relationship is by that. And so, as what I want to show you is that through all the ages, God is always, every time the enemy come in, God has always raised up something to deal with that enemy coming. And every time, God has defeated that enemy by raising up a standard against it.
Right.
We talk about holding the standard in our homes and in our life, and how we conduct ourselves, and what we'll listen to, and what we'll watch, or what we'll say. That's a standard,
right?
We understand that. And so that even ties to what I'm talking about here this morning. But God will always lift up something that we can look to.
Right.
Every time the enemy comes, God will have something he'll lift up right there when that enemy comes in like a flood. And you know, a flood, it just overcomes everything, comes into your house. And then God will is faithful to his own word that when something comes in, he'll lift up something there that you can look to that will be the example that you need to look to. And by that, defeat that enemy that's come in like a flood. Guaranteed, God will do that. Amen. And so God's way of helping us overcome our enemies is he's got to provide something that we can look to. Right. So he's got to lift something up, in even in this day to day. If you look out there and it looks like the denominational church world and politics and everything's failing, in the midst of all of that, God has to provide something that has his approval on it, that shows it's him. Has to be something like that we can look to. And it has to have a mark upon it that it's God.
Right.
Can't just be something some man or somebody says, we'll create a new organization, we'll do this. It has to be supernaturally. God raises something up that you can look to, and by that, by your obedience and by your attentiveness to that thing that he raises up, you'll defeat your enemies, because that's the whole program, the whole process of God,
yeah,
is to lift up something. And so we are to look to that, and we are to respond to that. We're going to talk about these things as we go forward. So, in the scriptures, we didn't read it, but we'll refer to it, and I'll tell you where it's at. A standard being lifted up. In the Bible, we would call it a sign. We put it on a pole. Lifted up, right? Because we're talking about being lifted up. And in all of these cases I'm going to talk about, it's all Christ being lifted up.
Right.
Not just a man on Calvary, but his word being put forth. His word being lifted up, that people could look to his current, present day word, what matters in our day, something we can look to, and it would help us defeat our enemies, because that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah.
That's the whole concept. And so we would call it a sign, but in the Bible sometimes it's referred to as a sign. Sometimes it's referred to as an ensign, or in this case, it is a standard. And it's something that's lifted up in the physical. It's something lifted high, whether it be Jesus on Calvary or a pole that has a symbol on it, a sign. And we lift up signs so that people can see it. So if God will lift up a sign, it's because he wants you to see it.
Right.
He wants you to see it, and he wants you to benefit from whatever that is he's showing you,
right,
on that sign or that symbol, whatever it is, he wants you. And listen, you don't go down a road and see a sign. You're going straight, and you don't ever see a sign that just says, yeah, keep going straight.
Right.
Signs are there because there's changes coming.
Right?
Right? So when God sends a sign, it's because there's a change coming in his program and what he's doing.
Right.
And so every time God would send a prophet to Israel, it's because, and that prophet was a sign to Israel, it would be God would lift up a man who had such a presence of God in his life that the people would have to look at that and say, that's God. A man can't do the things that a prophet could do. Right? Unless it was God. And so that calls for us to look to that and say, just like the woman at the well, she began to deal there, talk to Jesus, and all she could recognize him as was just a Jew.
Yeah.
Right? He said, woman, bring me a drink.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she says, look, hey, you being a Jew, we're not supposed to have nothing to do with each other, Jews and Samaritans. You know, and that's all she, now she was talking to the Messiah. She was talking to the current, present-day Word of God being fulfilled. She didn't know it, but she was talking to him. All right? And so as he began to talk to her, he finally, in conversation, got to the place where he could show her that he was a prophet. Right? He was a God prophet. And as soon as he said, go get your husband. Well, she said, well, I'm not married. He said, that's right, because you've been married 5 times and the one you're with is not your husband. What is her response immediately? Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Why? Because he told her about her life. I knew that there was no way that he could do that unless that God was manifesting. And so as soon as that happened, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. She shifted conversation to religious talk.
Yeah.
Because she knew that if this man was a prophet, she could find out something she needed to find out. She wanted to know truth. She wanted to know what truth was in the gospel. And so she said, you know what? The Jews say that, you know, worship in Jerusalem, and our fathers say to worship in this mountain. And, you know, and so Jesus began to say that time is coming that you'll not worship God either in Jerusalem or this mountain, but you'll worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
You'll worship him in the Holy Spirit and the truth of his word.
Yeah. Right.
Not in some physical mountain or some place.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. See, and so he began to show that. And so as soon as you see and know that this is something God, only God can do, it beckons to us to look at that and say, there's something God wants me to get from that. Right?
Right.
And God holds people responsible on how they treat that.
Right.
And so he's not an author of confusion. He's not just halfway doing something. He's very clear in how he has his word unfold, and very clear how we are to interact with that.
Right.
It's the devil that comes along that tries to confuse that.
Right.
But it's very clear. And God sends his word and says, that's how you're going to live. Like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So God sends his word, and that word might tell us, you know, all kinds of things about, you know, different phases of ministry and whatever. But it's through his word that we have to recognize and obey, and that's how we should live. Through that word. And if that word says he lifts up signs, then through those signs, because the word says it, through those signs we connect with God through those things that he sends. Amen?
Amen.
And pretty simple. I've said a lot about it, but it's a very, very simple thing there. And so every time he sends a prophet, it's a sign, and it shows that a change is coming. Right?
Right.
Listen, when Jesus came, he was a change. God was changing from the Old Testament and the worship of all the slaying all the beasts. There was a change. You couldn't convince them Jews that he was fixing to change. But it did. Right? And it's the same thing. God has stages and phases throughout history, even in the New Testament, because he's taking this gospel somewhere. He's taking it to fulfillment. And it's 300, 400, 500 years ago, it wasn't fulfillment. But he's bringing it to fulfillment. And so there are changes. And as those changes come, we have to move with those changes.
Right.
It's not God backing up on anything, changing anything, but he can reveal more.
Sure.
Reveal more. Reveal more.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. Amen. So we know as Israel was journeying through the wilderness, they used standards. They used these symbols lifted up on a pole. And those standards lifted on a pole would tell Israel when to get up and move and when not to move. Those standards would tell Israel how to move, how to march. When they moved from location to location, when to pick up their tents and move, and how to travel, and when they get to where they needed to go, and then that standard would tell the people how to stop and how to pitch their tents. And all of that in relation to the presence of God that was in their midst. So I want you to understand that. The presence of God and the relationship of the people to that God was through that symbol, that sign, that standard.
Right.
It was that standard that took what God wanted and transferred through the standard to tell the people how to live, how to move, how to travel on their journey to where God was taking them.
Right.
It was through that standard that was lifted up. And so we remember there, as I talk about lion, ox, man, eagle, don't get all bogged down because I've talked about that for several services, because God wants you to understand some stuff about this.
Right.
And so we know that they lift up these standards, these signs. And so when they would pitch the tent or the tabernacle, 12 tribes would pitch their tents around it. And on the east, there'd be 3 tribes. On the west, there'd be 3, north 3, south 3. And on the east side, those 3 tribes that would pitch there was a leader over each one. But there, all 3 of them underneath a banner that they lifted up which had a picture of a lion on it. And on the west side, the banner that those three tribes lifted up had an ox or a calf on it. On the south side, it was had a picture or face of a man. And on the north side, it was one of an eagle. Now, and you'll see this is in Numbers chapter 2 and Numbers chapter 10. If you want to read about it, you'll see this. The children of Israel, whenever God got ready for them to move, the way they knew God was moving, because you know what? Not everybody, not all the people necessarily could see the pillar of fire. Sometimes we know they did. But they didn't necessarily see the pillar of fire. But the way God had made it for them was that you might not see the pillar of fire, but I've placed a standard bearer among you, and he knows. He does. And when you see him move, you might not see the pillar of fire move, but when you see him move, you got to follow him because that's my program. That's the way I've set it up. Amen?
Right.
And so it was the movement, the traveling, the journey. There was never a time when Israel would travel or pitch their tents by the instruction of something other than either the lion, ox, man, or eagle symbols. There were no other symbols.
Right.
Follow me. No other symbols for their journey. That was it. And so they'd lift up that pole so everybody could see. And then everybody on the east side of those three tribes that knew that my banner, my standard that I lift up, because he calls it a standard in the scriptures, my standard, every one of them on the east side said, my standard is the one with the lion on it. Right?
Right.
All the ones on the west, they knew, hey, mine is an ox. I don't have to do nothing if I see the lion symbol take off and go, I don't have to move. Because that's not my symbol. That's not my standard. Right?
Right.
So every group needed to know their standard.
Right.
They needed to know it. We understand that the lion, ox, man, and eagle that is represented in all through the Bible, and one of the places there, they were cherubims. Ezekiel tells us, and Ezekiel says, the cherubims had the faces of the lion, ox, man, eagle. And so we know that in the Garden of Eden, those cherubims were there, and though it doesn't say that there, that they had lion, ox, man, eagle, we know they were because Ezekiel tells us they were, that they were cherubims. So in Eden, God used the lion, ox, man, and eagle there, and they were guards to the tree of life. They were guards to the mercy seat, where mercy comes from. Which was the presence of God. So presence of God was in Eden there. And of course we know as we said, that God didn't want man coming in there in sin and partaking of the tree of life. And so that's why he put them there. But they were cherubims. We also find out that these four beasts, lion, ox, or four living creatures, lion, ox, man, eagle, symbols, was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That were the four gospels. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are guards to the book of Acts. Guards to the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the presence of God. You have access of that through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're testimonies.
Okay.
Amen? So God is showing all through the Bible that he used the lion, the ox, the man, and eagle symbols. And every time, what was God doing? He was lifting up a standard.
Right.
The enemy was coming in. He needed to be dealt with, and he was lifting up a standard to deal with it. The children of Israel had the standards. You couldn't get to the presence of God unless you went through the standards.
Right.
You can't get to full baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you believe and understand everything. I say understand, but I believe the gospel is being preached by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's how you get access to a born-again experience, by believing the gospel.
Right?
And so, we know that that was there. And then, we understand that even after that, through the New Testament church divided up in seven church ages, and that upon those ages, those four living creatures were like anointings that were upon the church, and throughout the seven church ages, there was only those four anointings. It was the Holy Ghost in the people, but that Holy Ghost acting out a nature, a character, what's found in symbolized by the lion, the ox, the man, and eagle. So even in the New Testament, here we are in the New Testament from 2,000 years ago now, how did God's people overcome in every day? They overcome in each individual day because they recognize the anointing, the message. They might not have understood it, okay? But there was an anointing upon the early church to take that gospel out in boldness, like a lion. But then we understand it went into the Dark Ages where the Catholic Church was martyred by millions and millions. That was the ox, a beast of sacrifice. Those people didn't understand. All they know is that they were happy to give their lives for the Lord Jesus. That was a phase, right? That was a phase of coming up through the New Testament. And so all those four living creatures are represented like anointings upon the church. What was God doing? He was dealing with the enemy as he come in, like a flood, raising up these standards. Amen? So, it's very important that you know the day that you're in and what your standard is. Because like I said a while ago, if you were on the west side, you wouldn't move when you seen the standard of the eagle or the lion move. Because that wasn't your standard. So we know that this is the way it is. And then, of course, all the way into the book of Revelation, when it comes time for the opening of the seals, and when God began to break the seals, these four creatures were right there, and they were involved in the opening of those seals. And we realize that those first four horse riders, it was the Antichrist. Antichrist moving just through first starting out trying to deceive the people, and deceived a lot of them, but there were a lot he couldn't deceive. And when he finally got enough power through deception, then he got off that white horse and got on the red horse with his sword, and he began to kill all the Christians who wouldn't believe. See? Satan moving through his stages to try and conquer, and every time God would lift up a standard that would deal with what Satan was trying to do. So when Satan wanted to try and deceive people, God anointed the church with the anointing of the lion to be out and conquer and go out and spread that gospel, because he needed it spread anyway. They couldn't stop him. When it come time that the Catholic Church got enough strength and power to begin to kill people, then God changed his anointing. Same Holy Ghost just changed the anointing of what he was causing his people to do. And then, but why? Because it was a seed of Christ planted in his church, and a seed has to go into the ground and die and then come up in resurrection. So that's why it happened. It went out, sowing the seed through the lion of the tribe of Judah. Then it went into death through martyrdom as the ox. Then it come out in the Reformation with Martin Luther, and Wesley, right? Bringing restoration back. And the last stage of the whole thing is the eagle. So it's lion, ox, man, eagle. I know that most of you heard this, but I want you to really catch something about all this when we get a little bit further. And so we can see that God throughout the whole Bible used these lion, ox, man, eagle. Just remember, all through the Bible, as the enemy was working, God raised up these four creatures, these four anointings, these four standards. That's how that's how his people overcome. And so that's all God needed. God doesn't need a fifth banner, a fifth standard. All God needed was those four standards. Right? That's all. Israel, presence of God in their tabernacle, there was only four sides. So all God only needed one or all four sides. Right? And I've illustrated to you that if you're the lion, you conquer. You don't die for nothing. But the opposite, to move this way, being the lion of the tribe, to conquer it, nobody's going to slay you and make you a sacrifice, right? Because you're the king of the jungle, right? But if you have to be something opposite of that, what would you be? You'd be a sacrifice. So it'd be the opposite way, and that's where the ox was, right? Whenever you, on the south side, it was the anointing of a man. The intellect, and we need to capitalize on understanding this, because we are in the transition from the man to the eagle. Right. If you have the intellect of a man, there was a day when God used that in his kingdom But when the time changes and now it's no longer man age, it's eagle age, you've got to quit thinking it like a man and start rising up like an eagle.
Right.
These are changes in God's economy.
Right.
And you have to flow with it. And so remember like what I said, that the people, the way God made them to have overcoming power was he placed in their midst a standard for them to look to, and then their lives had to be changed according to that. Right? And so it's a time thing as this thing's unfolding. And so when we get down here to the end time where God is now saying it's not just a lion, the ox, or the man. Now it's eagle time. That's the way you're going to overcome. That if you don't get underneath that banner, that standard, then you can't defeat your enemy.
Right.
Very simple concept, but it's there all through the scriptures. And so God didn't need any other. He just needed those four, lion, ox, man, eagle. He didn't need any more gospels, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They were sufficient testimonies to get the book of Acts. God didn't need any others.
Right?
So, I think you understand those things. And so, we don't need any other standards. We just need what God has provided. But we have to know what is the standard for our age. This is the thing when people nowadays, that God promised in his word that he would bring more revelation of truth that had been lost. And if people refuse to move into that, they stay back under man anointing, then they can't get the benefits of looking at the standard that they really belong to because they're not following it. Amen. So I want to get down, and I've already touched on this, but I want to really get down to the meat of what I'm trying to say this morning. Every man, every family, every tribe had the responsibility. They had to know what their standard was. They had to know which one to look to. Right? They had to know it. And they had to watch it. Because God's instruction, when he's ready to move the church forward, that moving forward was going to happen through the pillar of fire moving, which the people can't see, but the standard bearer has that connection. And so when the standard bearer would rise up and begin to move, everybody that belonged to that standard knew they had to get up and go with it. So everybody had a responsibility to know your standard so you're not following the wrong thing. Because if you follow the wrong thing in marching and traveling through the Israel, you are in your wrong place. Because those standards show the sequence and how they were marching. And if you're looking at the wrong standard, you're going to come and gather underneath the wrong people, the wrong day, the wrong hour. And guess what? You're out of place. You're not going to overcome your enemy.
Right.
There is a standard for your day. And so everyone is required to understand what their standard is and to look to that. I would say that those people, whenever the man of the household would get up, put his garment on first thing and ride and open the door and look over. Look at that standard. What's it doing? Okay, it's still. Stop moving. All right. Every few minutes. Every little bit. Just look. Okay. All of a sudden, he looks at, it's moving, it's time, come on, get together, tear the tent down, pack it up, we got to go. See, you had to pay attention to it.
Right.
You can't just be willy, just whatever, and once in a while, and only on Sundays, I'll look to see what the standard's doing.
Right.
They had to stay attentive to the standard because that's how they get their instructions from God on how to travel this journey. That's how you get it.
Right.
We want to go. So, no, I want the Holy Ghost himself. Well, you know what? The Holy Ghost in you anoints God's program, and a true Holy Ghost experience in you will tell you you've got to listen to the standard.
Right.
And you are being led by the Holy Ghost, and he's leading you to God's program, which says, look at the standard, because I put it there. And I've shown you that it's approved. It's got the presence of everything my scripture said it would have. Look to that.
Right.
And that's being led by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Pentecostals come along and they think, well, if you're not your own one-man show, you got nothing. God has a program for his people. And the Holy Ghost, you know, the scripture said, the Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Right.
Okay? What is truth for our day? Well, I've shown you here, in our day, God has a standard for us to look to.
Right.
And we can disagree with it if we want to, and that just means that we're not going to be partakers of the overcoming power that comes through that standard. It is God working through his own program to tell us how to rise up and how to march and how to stop.
Right.
It is God.
Yeah.
Through a channel that he picked and that he vindicates. That's why it's so important. We must know our standard. We must watch it. And we must follow it.
Right?
Yeah. Let me go back and say it again. It is Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Maybe not the man, the flesh that walked up and down the shores of Galilee. But he is the Word made flesh. And he's in this room today. In the Word. In a standard. In a message. Telling us, look to me. Look to me, the living Word. Amen. The Holy Ghost will always anoint us to follow God's program. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that somebody, a woman or a man says, oh, I got the Holy Ghost and he told me to leave my spouse and go marry somebody else. You know better. There's millions do it. And you know it's not God. Why? Because it's off the Word. It's off his program.
Right?
Amen. So they had to know what their standard was. They had to watch it. They had to follow it. And it affects when you move and when you don't. Why? Because if God's not changing dispensation, if he's not changing his program, you better not change it. But if he is changing it, you better move with it and don't hang back. Right? Remember how the scripture said, he that abided under the wings of the Almighty? Well, what if, you know, you got the shadow? Well, what if he decides to slow down and you speed up? Now you're not under his shadow. What if he speeds up and you don't speed with him? Now you're out enough. You have to stay with him. When the pillar of fire moved, they had to move. When it stopped, they had to stop. And so, just, you got to understand that this is explaining the dispensational changes. How that God is taking the church through these dispensational changes. And when it becomes eagle time, because the lion, the ox, and the man is already done through history. We know that. It's eagle. Then there's only one channel. I mean, make sure you understand that. If all those people gathered around and pitching their tents around the presence of God, their relationship to God was through that banner. Because they had positioned themselves exactly where that banner told them to be. And whenever that God would move, their moving with him was through that banner, through that standard. See? You don't move right with God unless you're doing it through his standard.
Right.
And if we get away from the standard, because that is our relationship to God through that truth, through that word, through that message, through that standard that he's shown to be proven. If we don't pay attention to that, ultimately in its rawest form is to say, unless you come through Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. But Jesus Christ is here today. And then we've got to go through him to have access to the cross, access to mercy seat. Amen. And so that is our relationship. And listen, on any of these points I'm talking about, any of these things, you know Satan wants to tear any point. You know he wants to destroy anything, anywhere where somebody can just get on the trail of God's word and be. He'll do anything he can to discredit and destroy any point that he can. Because the whole program is, listen, we know that the scripture tells us that there's supposed to be a restoration here at the end. Do you know in the Old Testament, Israel got carried away into Babylon, and then God intended for them to come back and rebuild the temple. Right? And so when that began to unfold, and you read in Nehemiah, they come there and they start rebuilding the temple, there was plenty of enemies. Nobody wanted them to back to their promise, because that's where God wants them. Okay? And so they were trying to come back, and so all these enemies, and you find out that the enemy sent people in there. And these people, their whole purpose was to confuse the work of God. Right? What was the purpose of confusing? Whatever we got to do, we can't let them rebuild these walls of Jerusalem. We can't let that restoration happen. And for us in our day, we can't let this word come out in clarity. We've got to confuse it. And so Satan sends out all kinds of people, and their whole purpose is to come in and confuse the word and make it all where nobody can be focused on truth. That's what he's done. But God is going to rebuild his church. He's going to have that new Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. He's going to have it. But rest assured, there's confusion left and right of Satan trying to stop that work. And what I'm showing you here is the way that God stops confusion. He got to have something that everybody can look to. You can't look to 50,000 different things, 50,000 different ministers. There's a channel. You find that, and that is that channel that you gain strength by. Overcome your enemies by. And so it's just that important for us to understand our standard for our day. God made it really simple. Just follow the standard.
Right.
Don't ask. Now listen, follow the standard. Don't say, why is he wanting to move today? I don't think he should be moving today. Well, let me ask you a question. Who are you to come up with the idea that you know more about it than the standard bearer? Follow me? When we question the word of God and say, well, you know, that's what we're doing. Right?
Right.
So you should never say, well, I don't think that should be we should be traveling. I don't think God should be doing this now. I don't think we're under evil age now. It's pretty ridiculous sounding, isn't it? But people do it all the time. People do it all the time. So we understand, as I went through it in the New Testament, every time the enemy would come in, every time that white horse rider went out, God sent standard to it. So today there's only one left, and that's the eagle. That's the eagle anointing. And when there's a question, do you go to the lion or the ox or the man today? Or do you go to the eagle? Right? If there's a question about are we moving, is God on the move, how do you know? Look to your standard. Make sure you're looking at the right standard for your day. Then if you do, right, then look to that. Don't come up with your own ideas, right? You hear this phrase, you have no thought coming. And in the right understanding, that's true. It's not like God wants you to just be stupid and just blindly follow stuff. But you have to, your thinking has to come underneath God's program. When God says it's a certain way, that's the way it is. We can't analyze God's word by worldly thinking. It's God's program. Get into his program and then you'll understand. And so there's only one left. That's the eagle. And so then where do we go? We go to the eagle anointing. We go to that standard that's been lifted up in our day. And that is the thing that brings truth. That's the thing. So, you know, at work, I work in a laboratory. And we are certified under the United States government, under Department of Energy Efficiency, certified under UL, certified under CSA, different certifications. We probably have the largest laboratory like ours in the world. That's what we're hearing. Customers come in and they're just blown away. In that, and I'm trying to get to something. I'm not trying to say anything about myself, but I am the administrator of our calibration, and the equipment we use to calibrate with, we call them standards. We have hundreds of pieces of equipment. Some of these things aren't any bigger than half the height of a microwave, and they're $30,000 and $40,000 a piece. You know, we just purchased some, and it was in the millions. Just 45 or 50 of these things. So we got hundreds of pieces of equipment, and we can't just put those things out there and use them. They have to be verified that they're accurate, and we have to do it on this calibration schedule. And so we have internal lab standards that are only used for that, to take those and to check everything else out in the lab to that. And there's a very strict record keeping of exactly when and how these things were verified. There's specific procedures. You have to be trained, accredited people to do that. And I'm getting somewhere with this to say this, that all that equipment's got to speak the same thing. If you measure a degree, it's all, everything that measures temperature's got to say the same thing. Everything that measures voltage has got to read the same thing. Everything that measures water pressure, water flow, you name it, it all has to speak the same thing. And I'm the administrator of the whole thing. So I understand. I've actually built some items that we have that are lab standards, everything is checked to. So I understand about the requirements that you've got to have one voice. And that one voice has to be tied back to the National Bureau of Standards.
Right.
And it is. It's not cheap to have that. And cheap equipment can't hold that.
Right.
You might check a piece of cheap equipment and it might read just fine today, and in 6 months it might be way off because it's cheaply made. Only good, only valuable experiences can hold to that standard. But the only way my guys will say, listen, we've hung weights on these load cells to measure torque. We've do it all the time, and every time we check them, they're exactly right. Why do we have to do that? Because you can't know they're right unless you check them.
Right.
You have to check it against the standard to know that it's right. Right? Just like in the Word of God, it says, you know, that they search the Scriptures daily to see if this was so. See, we're not saying be stupid. We're telling you, search the Scriptures daily. Search the Message daily. Check this. See if this is right. See if what I'm telling you is right. See if what Brother Daniel tells you is right. Check it daily. But listen, make sure you're looking to the standard to see. Don't go talk to someone else and go off over here and this opinion and that opinion and your own opinion. Go to the banner that's been lifted up, the standard that's lifted up for your day. It's been vindicated. It shows that it's right. And that is your relationship to God through that. That's your message of your day. That is your new birth of the day, because that's the word that God's given to you today.
Yeah.
That's how you get your new birth, is through that channel. Not any other way. Right? That's the way it comes. And so, you've heard me tell the story about how maybe Lock and Dam 13 down here. You know, that used to not be there. That had to be built. And when they go in there and we build that, you don't just come up there and say, all right, start digging right here.
Right.
Around our nation, there are national monuments that are locators of boundaries. They're there and they don't move unless the whole country's moving. And when you get ready to do something like build a dam, they have to go to the nearest marker, national standard marker, and they'll survey back from that to the site where they want to build the dam. And they'll, at that location, they'll put a miniature standard. Now, that standard local to the build site is specifically understood where it is in relation to that one that don't move. After you're through with the project, you probably don't need that anymore. But while you're building, you need something that you can measure from, and when the guy on this side starts putting concrete forms, he has to know exactly where he is in relation to that local standard. And so the guy over here, he's starting to build, and he has to know. And if everybody's following that standard, when they build, they'll come together and they'll meet right together.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because everybody's looking at the same
That's
thing.
Right.
Amen.
And even through that process, they'll go back and reaffirm from that national standard location, they'll reconfirm this local standard to that one.
Right.
Okay. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That as God would have an age, or God would have through the church ages, the lion, the project God was building, the ministry of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, then everything would have to go back to this local standard being lifted up, which has a specific reference to Jesus Christ, the standard that doesn't move.
Right.
See, God did that. God sent each one of us a movement that represented him. And our access through God is through that. It's through his word, but his word, his truth, will say, yes, that's God's program. It's right here. It's been the Bible all the way through the Bible. Amen. And so, you check and you recheck. So standards cause everybody to speak the same thing. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Paul said? Hey, yeah, you need to be speaking the same thing. Right? Standards cause people to speak the same thing. Standards brings unity because everybody is on the same page. Standards will settle questions. Right? Standards will solve problems. Mm-hmm. Amen. See how opposite that is from Babylon? Babylon brings confusion. But God, through a standard, settles questions, brings out truth, establishes everybody. Amen? When the enemy comes in like a flood, how does God combat confusion? Brings it to a standard.
Right.
But you know, standards will only work when you make it your standard.
Right.
When you make it what you look to.
Right.
If you choose to look at all kinds of other stuff, right, then you're not going to do too well. But you've got to have something that is an ultimate. Something that is. You know, the whole world says, oh yeah, the whole church, well yeah, it's the word of God. And we're showing you right here that the word of God is showing how this works and shows that they're not following it. Amen. Standards only work when you use them that way. We don't, at work, we don't use standards for just common everyday work. We use it for one thing, checking everything else out to make sure everything else is right. And if everything else is wrong or something else is wrong, he's pulled out of service and fixed or gotten rid of. Right? Because it has to agree with the standard. So I said the last one is equals. Starting to get ramped down here. Okay, the last one is eagle, anointing upon the church, eagles. And eagles are able to fly away from, I will say it this way, eagles are able to fly away from earthbound thinking. Now just bear with me. Why? You have the lion, definite move of God in its day. The ox, a definite move of God in its day. The man anointing, definite move of God in its day. Now we're under eagle. Why couldn't the lion, the ox, or the man, why couldn't they fly? Why did God place them where he did? Well, he did because it was going to match the way Satan was going to make his attack on the church. But why can't they fly? Because they're not made like the eagle. They don't have wings. You understand? Previous ages can't do what this church is going to do. What makes the eagle able to rise up and do what the lion, ox, and man can't do? They were moves of God, but in this day, they're not where you want to be. So how is it that an eagle can rise up and do what the lion, ox, and man? It's because the eagle is made to do it. Right? The eagle's made to be able to rise up and fly. And so what I want to show you is that the eagle, he's flying away from, because we're not coming out of the lion age or the ox age. We're coming out of man age. And in that man age, it was intellect. God used intellect to quicken the printing press and to challenge the system of the Catholic Church. But now God is saying you've got to come out of trying to understand it and through wit and through study and through wisdom, all that. You've got to come out of that because that's earthbound still, just like the lion and the ox were. That's earthbound. I want to move you to a place where now you can do, you can come up and you can soar. And so I said earthbound thinking because if we feel like we've got to understand God and how everything about his program by man's intellect, then you're not going to rapture. There has to be something different about the ego, and we know what it is because he's built for it. He's built for it. And so we expect the lion, the ox, and the man, whenever the eagle says, "Praise God, I'm fixing to fly. I'm stretching my wings. I'm getting ready. I feel the wind." The eagle knows there's something in him. Maybe he doesn't understand it with the intellect, but he knows something, right? And so if he's testifying, say, "Praise God, I believe I'm fixing to fly," you expect the lion and the ox and the man to say, "You can't do that." Because the lion, the ox, and the man don't know nothing about it. The lion, ox, man don't have the wings. They don't have the gift to feel the spirit moving, the air moving. They don't have the gift to know that what God's about to do. And so if you'll stay over here in this camp, stay over here under this banner, what are you going to get? "You can't do that. Now, you're going to fly? Now, how's that work? I mean, how's this quote and that? I mean, that doesn't make sense. If that's the mode you're in, see, you've got to rise up to say, just like we understand, I don't know how God healed me sitting there on that New Year's Eve service. I don't know how he did it. Or that time when I was at work. I don't know. And if we want to stay back under man, we just have to, now, how does this work? You don't have to understand how it works. You have to believe it. See, and so I'm trying to labor on this. That what's different about the eagle from the rest? He's gifted somehow that as God begins to move, God could blow the wind all he wanted across the lion or ox or man, and they're not going to fly. But this dispensation is changing. It's eagle time, and the Spirit's moving, and God's getting ready to rapture a people, and he's got to have a people that's got wings. And wings means not dwelling on intellect, trying to figure all this stuff out. We've moved from the man age. We've moved to the eagle age. And it was a flying eagle, if you read the scriptures. You see what I'm saying? We must follow that standard. We must pay attention to these four creatures and what they mean. When God got ready to open the seals, they were there. They were the ones that introduced and said, "Let me show you what this first horse rider is, or the second horse rider." They're right there because that's the channel God uses. We better find out what our standard is. Because right. That's where our overcoming power comes in this day, through that. We can try and say, "Oh, you know, I don't know." That's thinking, man's thinking. I'm just saying, look, get out there with your wings. If you've got them, get out there with your wings. Feel that. Begin to stretch and begin to work and right? Remember the stories. How that eagle, he wasn't afraid. The squirrel chatter, 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 but that eagle standing up there, he wasn't afraid because he knew he had a gift in his wings. And when that wind blew, Brother Bram said he just made one jump, one flop, and just set his wings. Set your wings, and the Holy Spirit will pack you out of here. Mm-hmm. Brother, sister, you've got to set your wings. You've got to know you've got wings. You've got to know what your standard is, and that it is eagle standard. And set, brother, sister, the world's burning down. We can't stay here much longer.
Right.
And this people that calls themselves by the bride of Jesus Christ, brother, sister, you've got to have those wings. Mm-hmm. Right? You've got to have them. Because you're not going anywhere if you don't. And if we sit back here listening to Lion, Ox, Man, or listening to everybody else, "Oh, you can't do that." What do you mean I can't do it? I'm an eagle.
Right.
I see it and I believe it. I hear it. I know it. I feel the wind. I feel the move of the Spirit. I don't know if you do. I can't help it. I know you've got a place in God's program, but I've got a place in God's program, and I feel the Spirit moving upon me. And I see and I know that God's about to do something with me.
Amen.
You got to know this.
Right.
Can't play around about it.
Right.
This thing is running out. God is going to rapture a people.
Amen.
And we must know. We must know Pat. Don't be a halt between opinions. Remember people who have amnesia? One of the things that can cause that is being halt between opinions, not knowing. God doesn't want you to be. He wants you to know what your standard is.
Right.
Know who you are. Quit questioning it. Quit doubting it every time you don't feel good, or quit doubting it every time you make a mistake. Come to the place where you know you're a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. We expect them to say, you can't do that. The eagles are equipped to do something that they can't do. And I'm going to say it this way. I don't believe that anybody that was in the age of the lion, of the early church, or in the age of the ox giving their life, or under Luther's movement, under the intellect of man, I don't believe any of those people, when we would stand up and say, praise God, there's an eagle age, and we don't have to die. We're going to have a body change. I don't believe any of those would go, I'm offended. I'm offended. What? How come I couldn't fly? You follow me? Does the clay have power to look at the potter and say, why'd you make me this way? What's the scripture says? Now, I will say this. If you have someone in evil age and they're trying to be under one of those other ages, they're going to be offended when they find out they don't have wings. There's plenty of people in this world offended at what we believe, this move of God that he's doing. Don't let it bother you. Right? Because real, genuine Christians of every day are in that dimension going, praise God, it's right at the end, and the bride's about to take a body change, and we're waiting on that to happen because they're going to call us out of the graves. But people who's in some other age trying to live in the wrong age, they're going to be offended because they're not in the cycle of God's program as it's been divvied out. Amen. And so, why is the eagle here at the end? And it's because we're now at a time that we're at a time in history and unfolding of things that there's only one way out. There's only one way out. And that is the rapture. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Why did God give the eagle at the end? Because there's only one way out here at the end. One way of victory that God has provided for us, and it's not the lion, ox, and man, but is a people who can rise up and believe this word, even if they don't understand it all exactly. Like we were talking last night, Sister Hattie Wright, I bet you she didn't understand church ages, seals, whatever, but she understood one thing right, and God honored her because of it. And so, it's the eagles at the end because the only way out now is to fly. The only way to overcome in this age is not to dwell in lion, ox, man, and in that kind of thinking and all that, and be earthbound. There's something that has to loose us.
Yeah.
And God has placed it here because that is the only way. Remember I said he only needed four. And the first three's already gone, so there's only one left, and we don't need anything else. And that eagle, flying eagle, that is rapture. That is rising above everything else that hinders the lion, the ox, and the man, and sets us free. We need a body change. And you can't intellectualize that and get it. You can't wait to try and understand it. You don't know how God heals you, but he does it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to understand it, but he does it. And so we need a body change, but we can't through intellect get there. The only thing we can do is believe the standard and follow the standard that God has given in this day. That's all we can do is only believe.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And if we get stuck down here and trying to figure things out under the man anointing or whatever it is, then if we let Satan draw us down into reason, he'll whip you every time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
Especially in this day, because God's called us not to reason, but to believe his word. We see the patterns. We see it all right there. We see it in types and shadows. We see it. I don't understand all these things, but I believe it. Amen. And that's what he has called us to. And so the rapture will happen by believing. Amen.
Amen.
You know, you've heard for a long time, you know, the science says that the bumblebee can't fly, or not can't fly, but is not supposed to be able to fly. And I kind of looked that up because they contradicted themselves, because it said, no, science doesn't say that. And the very next sentence, right, in the same paragraph, no, science does not say that. Because it ended the paragraph by saying, because they do fly. There's no, science doesn't say that. But it said, but according to the size of their body and the size of their wings, and according to conventional aerodynamic principles, they shouldn't fly. But no, science doesn't say that, because they can't fly. Well, anybody knows how science is. Science won't believe nothing unless they can prove it.
Right.
So they contradicted themselves. So they've even said, under conventional aerodynamic principles, that for the size and everything, they shouldn't fly, but they have to admit they can because they see them do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't have to understand. Science is not going to come along and give you that boost that you need for a body change.
Yeah.
See, we don't go there. We believe.
Right.
We believe. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let the musicians come. Our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, oh, how thankful we are, Lord, for your wonderful blessings upon us, Lord. And in this last hour, you have left us to not know that your presence is here, or that you've lifted up something that we can look to and help us in overcoming power to this day. I've said a lot of things this morning, Lord. I pray that each one, Lord, that they need to, they go back and listen to it again. They need to ask questions, Lord, just let them ask those questions, write them down, send them in, email, text, whatever it is. But we want them to understand these things, Lord, that you have a channel for this day, and that's where we find overcoming power. Lord, we expect the enemies to be challenging on every hand, but oh God, it's your word, and it's so true. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon your people today. May you just multiply the words in our hearts as they go from this place today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. pray, God, that in this environment that you reach out and touch every life, every body. Lord, I know there's people in this assembly that need to touch in their body and heal them. And so, Lord, I ask through thy name, the precious name of Jesus Christ, that you would touch each and every life and each and every body, each and every spirit, each and every soul. Lord, that you let your healing virtues flow to them now. Lord, that you would get glory and that your people would be drawn closer to you, to love you and understand, God, that you're here with us for innocent world and your people. God, that you're with us. Your wings.